Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know what? Let me, instead of an opening rant here at 6:06 this morning, let me read some of the messages that came in yesterday that for various reasons we didn't get a chance to get to right away, or maybe they came in after the show or whatever. First off, Owen in Bozeman, this was pretty funny. I was telling folks about Billings' last diet. And, you know, all of our listeners that have lost weight thanks to Billings' last diet. And I was talking about how one of our listeners, I ran into him, and he lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. And Owen and Bozeman says, Aaron, 90 pounds is the equivalent of carrying 6 bowling balls around. Okay, how big of a bowling ball do you use when you go bowling? Yeah, we took the family bowling. It was funny. We went bowling last Saturday. Wait, no, the Saturday before that. I can't remember. Anyway, we went bowling, and it was kind of fun. We ran into Evelyn Pyburn. She was with her family, her grandson, and one of her sons. She was in the lane next to us. And then another friend from another radio station was in the lane next to us over there. So it was just like, holy cow, what a small town we really live in here. But anyway, the only balls that were available, I think there was an 8-pounder, 10-pounder. Maybe there was a 13-pounder that I chucked down there at some point. So yeah, you must be in the 13-pounder and up bowling ball. But, man, you think about that. Like, man, imagine carrying around, you know, what, 6 to 9 bowling balls, and that's what's weighing down on your knees, weighing down on your back and everything. Man, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Jay in Billings, we had a great message that came from Jay in Billings after Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, joined us. She was in the second half of the 7 o'clock hour, opening segment of the 8 o'clock hour of the show, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. Jay in Billings says, good to hear the common sense facts of what is an insanity gone amok in our country. Thank you, Stacy Zinn, for your continued service to our country and our state. My hope has been that the state of Montana would put a badge on you and cut you loose with whatever resources one needs to help clean this mess up. There's a lot of volunteers out here that would support you. A great message there from Jay in Billings. Yeah, we were talking about a couple of things with Stacy Zinn. First off, we were talking about the 28 drug cartel leaders that have now been extradited back to the United States. And she told us some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that was very interesting. So go back, listen to that audio on the Montana Talks podcast if you missed it yesterday. But then we were also talking about in the Montana legislature, there was a couple of different things. One, lawmakers are discussing, well, what do they do with all this tax revenue from the marijuana money? What do they do with it all? Do they give it to outdoor stuff? Do they give it to law enforcement? Do they give it to mental health and other treatment programs like that to deal with all the problems that are coming now from, you know, marijuana? And by the way, that leads to the other topic, which is the extremely high potency of a lot of the marijuana that's on the market in Montana right now. And we're not even talking about the marijuana that people smoke. We're talking about the edibles, the synthetics, the dabs, insanely high levels of THC. And so she was advocating for legislation to try to put some limits on that front. Tell you about that more.
Here's
next.
A look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll start off the day with some areas of light snow with some light additional accumulations in some parts of the area. Then some sunshine develops, especially during the afternoon. High temperature readings, meanwhile, staying from the mid-30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the lower 20s. Then we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
The Senate Judiciary Committee recently held a hearing concerning the lack of security for minors online. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley on today's Digital Era.
Our young people face risks that previous generations couldn't even have imagined.
Many senators called for the repeal of Section 230 of the Communications Act, which protects online companies from liability concerning users' posts. Catholic University law professor Mary Gualeri testified that
there is no way to look under the hood of this incredibly dangerous industry.
South Carolina State Representative Brandon Guffey, whose 17-year-old son committed suicide after being sexually extorted online, testified about the lack of action from the tech giants.
Instagram removed the profile that attacked Gavin, but left up the additional profiles that predators use.
Given your answer, Fox News.
All right, let's put this phony talking point to bed once and for all. Deporting illegal aliens is not racist. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's my latest rant in response to just some of the absurd left-wing comments that I've seen on some of the social media sites out there. You can check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. And oh, by the way, if it's so racist to deport illegal aliens, then why did Hispanics support Trump in such a big way?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, either that was a really good party on Saturday night in Helena at the Montana Democrats' annual Mansfield Metcalf dinner. I'm sure Mike Mansfield is rolling over in his grave as he looks at the Democrat Party in Montana of today like, what in the world is wrong with you guys? You're anti-mining, you're anti- anti-everything. But, man, somehow you're pro-women and pro-men in girls' bathrooms for some reason. Anyway, yeah, Tampon Tim Walz was the keynote speaker at the Mansfield Metcalf dinner Saturday night. That was what we kind of talked about in the first few minutes of the show yesterday. I was making the point how, look at how little attention Tim Walz got. Tim Walz, the one news story that I saw that even covered the Mansfield Metcalf dinner on Saturday night, they waited till like 18 paragraphs into the story to even talk about Tim Walz, to even have a significant, well, they mentioned him earlier, but before they even had a long quote from Tim Walz, it wasn't until like 18 paragraphs in. And so anyway, and then yesterday, Tim Walz was saying, I'm going to run for president in 2028. Yeah, go for it, buddy. Go for it, buddy. My goodness. But apparently it was either a really good party or it was a really bad party that drove people to drink way too much. Way too much. And I'm not picking on people here, but I don't know if you guys heard. Now, if this was a Republican who got busted with a DUI over the weekend, man, we would have heard about it Sunday night, and then there would have been a follow-up story Monday morning, and then more coverage Tuesday morning. But a Democrat got busted. This is a state senator. Is she a senator now? Ellie Boldman out of Missoula, used to be known as Ellie Hill. State Senator Ellie Boldman apparently got arrested and is set to apparently plead guilty to a DUI. Apparently she was sleeping in her car while it was in the middle of blocking traffic, basically. And her blood alcohol content was nearly twice the limit. And so anyway, so yeah, State Senator Ellie Boldman, a Democrat out of Missoula, got busted with a DUI. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any calls for her to resign from the legislature or anything like that. As a result, but that's one of the big stories out of the legislature. Apparently, she was at the Mansfield Metcalf dinner on Saturday night. All right, now let's go back real quickly here. A couple of messages that came in. We were talking with Stacy Zinn about marijuana, and one of the things Stacy was saying, she did a little bit of a marijuana 101 session, and she made the point that, like, okay, 70s, 80s, if somebody smoked a marijuana joint back then, the THC content would be basically around 1% potency. She said some of those joints now are 20% plus in potency, but she said that's not the real big problem. That's not the real big fight. She said the real problem right now is that you have kids even doing these dabs. You have the vaping of the marijuana. You have the marijuana edibles. And why they're telling people, hey, only do a half, don't do a full one of those. And then kids are popping them like gummy bears because they think they're gummy bears. It was marijuana in them. And, oh, yeah, keep eating these things. So anyway, it's crazy. And too high of a potency can cause, you know, all sorts of problems, right? You know, long term, not just short term. And so she was backing legislation in Helena last week to say, hey, we've got to put some limits in place on the potency of marijuana, especially in these synthetics and in some of these edibles. And so that's what she was doing in Helena last week. Well, Fred and the Flathead sent us a message later on in the hour, and we had other guests that we had to get to. But Fred said this: legal and illegal cannabis is a scourge on our communities. It causes mental illness, especially in young men. Read Alex Berenson's book on cannabis. It's titled Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. And Alex Berenson, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he a former New York Times science reporter, if I'm not mistaken? Fred may be listening in once again here this morning. Evan and Belt also said this, had this reaction to our conversation with Stacy. He says, the concerns I had about even allowing legal marijuana to this state are already coming to fruition, all because our legislators thought they could make a ton of money for the state, all at the expense of our citizens. And now here you have it. The black markets will get it all, and they legalized our destruction. Isn't that just brilliant? I would slightly disagree with Evan here. The legislators didn't make this decision. The legislators didn't legalize this. The voters, the people of Montana, voted to legalize it. That being said, I do think the burden now falls on these state lawmakers and these legislators to set some reasonable guidelines and some reasonable limits in place. But Evan's broader point, that was a concern that was raised by Greg Franks. He called in from Billings just at the tail end of our conversation with Stacey Zinn, and he made a great point. He said, okay, so if the black markets are overtaking the supposedly legal marijuana markets in states like Colorado and California, and you're already seeing indications that may be happening here in Montana, maybe these lawmakers need to be very careful with how they spend and dedicate marijuana tax revenue over the long term, because you can't prop up long-term budgets using marijuana tax revenue that could disappear in the coming years because the black market just takes the whole thing away anyway. And so now of course, why is the black market able to flourish? Well, because under the guise of legality, there isn't as much of a focus on marijuana anymore from a law enforcement and public policy perspective. And you think the illicit marijuana growers care about following any of the rules, any of the laws? No. So they'll just come in and take the whole thing over under the guise of legality. Anyway, interesting stuff.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One critical piece of information that rarely seems to surface in the current war of words over disruption to federal government spending of late is just how much that spending ballooned in recent years. Not all the increases were the result of COVID. In 2019, when we were not exactly frugal, spending $4.5 trillion that wasn't $1 trillion in excess of revenues. But then it got ugly. Last year's spending was $6.7 trillion. That's 52% more. Let's take a look at the pieces. The smallest increases were still large. Defense, 27%, Medicare 34%, and Social Security 40%. Other health program spending, including Medicaid and the VA, were up 56%. Other discretionary spending was up 71%. But the biggest rise was the interest paid in the ballooning debt. At $882 billion, it now stands 135% higher than 2019. And since 2022, the deficit started growing again, almost double the pre-COVID amount. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Beware the Ides of March, wrote Shakespeare, and truly beware the Ides of March in Washington. That's because the government could run out of money and shut down at the end of the day on March 14th. The first day of a government shutdown would be March 15th, the Ides of March. Republicans control both the House and Senate now. House Republicans have not attempted to advance any spending bills since the new Congress started, even though they passed several last year. And there's not been any attempt by Senate Majority Leader John Thune to put any bills on the floor either, despite Republicans carping at Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer for failing to advance those bills when Democrats were in charge last year. Plus, there's a new dynamic. President Trump has a history of inserting himself into these debates at the very last minute or changing his mind. And don't rule out the influence of Elon Musk. Musk essentially torpedoed a spending accord crafted late last year by House Speaker Mike Johnson before Christmas. The objections of Musk forced Johnson to slim down the bill at the very last minute. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordlund. And today we're broadcasting from Denver, Colorado at the 2025 Commodity Classic. Our coverage is brought to you by Grounded from Helena. Spray smarter this season with Grounded, a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. Well, a major highlight at this year's Commodity Classic is the National Association of Wheat Growers' 75th anniversary, celebrating decades of advocacy and innovation for wheat farmers. I caught up with two past presidents of the National Association to share their perspective on 75 years. And for one of those past presidents, Dusty Tolman, a Southeast Colorado wheat farmer, said NOG plays a key role in educating elected officials.
Most of them don't know anything about farming. Even in Colorado, we've only got about two people that are actually in agriculture that serve the state in the state house and senate. It's even worse in D.C. There's just not a lot of representation for ag. So not just wheat, but corn and beans and sorghum. They have to have us back there or they won't know what we need.
Bing Von Bergen, a past National Association of Wheat Growers president, is a farmer from Moccasin, Montana. And he said it's important for the next generation of ag leaders to get involved, even if they're hesitant.
Most of us were reluctant leaders. Most of us did not want to. We were asked to do this, and most of us said no. I will say from my personal experience, I was a very reluctant leader. But it was one of the best things I've ever done. The friendships that I've made will last a lifetime. My knowledge of agriculture has gotten better. My knowledge of how politics work and how it affects our industry. If you stand by the wayside, maybe somebody that really doesn't want to do the job is going to be up there. And I do believe if you educate yourself, you get to be a real spokesman and really can represent your industry extremely well. It's extremely important for young people to step up to the plate.
For more of our conversations with leaders from the National Association of Wheat Growers, make sure and check out the Western Ag Network YouTube channel or Facebook page.
At Vsuch Cattle Company, they've got data to back it up. Their hybrid females produce 30% more than straightbred counterparts. Sounds like profit. Glasgow Stockyards, March 10th. VSETs sell 90 Red Angus composite yearling bulls, a few 2-year and 18-month bulls, over 100 red bred heifers, 100 red and 10 black heifer calves, 30 Red Angus 3-year-old cows, and 50 short-term reds. VSET Cattle Company, Monday, March 10th. Details at GlasgowStockyards.com.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know that the office with the best view isn't a traditional office at all. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Give us a call from your office, wherever that may be. We'd love to chat. Find us at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
The United States Treasury Department is suspending enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act's reporting requirements and will no longer impose penalties or fines on U.S. citizens or domestic businesses. The agency plans to revise the rule to apply only to foreign reporting companies. The Treasury Department called it a victory for common sense, aligning with President Trump's push to cut red tape for small businesses. Agriculture groups like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association praised the move, saying it relieves family farms and ranches from burdensome regulations. While the changes provide short-term relief, agriculture groups urge producers to consult legal and tax professionals as Treasury finalizes the new rule. That's a look at today's Daybreak Ag Report from the Commodity Classic in Denver. I'm Wayne Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, let's see. A couple more messages coming in. Some days, all we could do is sit here and read app messages. So eventually, they'll come. I love getting the messages, though. We don't always get to use every single message that comes in. Sometimes we'll save some for the next day. But either way, I do appreciate the message. Even if we don't read all of them over the air, we read them. And we like to get your feedback. It informs what we talk about. It informs what we say. It informs what guests we may book as well. just like your phone calls do, just like your social media comments do, and everything else. But let's see. On the right on, John had a great message earlier this morning. I need to share that one. Cameron in Billings, sticking with this marijuana discussion from yesterday, Cameron in Billings also sent us a message yesterday that I didn't get it until after we had already wrapped up with Stacey Zinn, and then we had a couple of other guests that we had to get to. But Cameron said, you're talking about kids. So we were talking with Stacey Zinn about how, you know, the kids that have, if you want to call it an overdose, or technically it's not an overdose, either way, these kids in our schools got sent to hospitals because they, call it an overdose, call it whatever you want, they had dabs with too much potency of THC in them, and it sent them to the hospital. Cameron said this, you're talking about kids, yet the law does not authorize selling until 21. Why would restricting the legal selling and purchasing of weed prevent the black market selling it? Again, how are kids getting these products, synthetics or edibles or otherwise, if they're not of age to get those products? Well, how do you think kids got, or maybe still get, a case of Old Milwaukee Light on the High Line? They buy it from somebody who legally went and got it and then gave it to the kids. So again, Stacy's point is, like, when you have no limit on the THC potency of these synthetics and these edibles, you're making it more likely that that those products are able to end up in the hands of kids. Anyway, let's see. Tater and Forsyth sent us a message. Tater must have seen or heard about the story that I put on our Montana Talks website, calling out these leftists who, you know, whenever you talk about deporting illegal aliens, that's racist. Oh, give me a break. Even the Hispanic community supports deporting illegal aliens. Or are they racist too? Give me a break. But Tater and Forsyth said, if removing illegal aliens is racist, then isn't arresting a bank robber or a rapist or a murderer? Tater, thanks for that message. Yeah, that's the other point with this whole, it's not racist to deport illegal aliens conversation. Because a lot of these illegal aliens that are getting deported are white folks. Yeah, Russians broke into this country illegally. Chinese came into this country illegally. There were illegal aliens flooding into this country from over 100 different countries. Oh, these folks on the show, so much to talk about in the news, so many things moving and shaking, especially back in Washington, D.C., with a real president once again back in the White House. But, yeah, it's been a while since we've heard an update on this story. Right on, John in Bozeman sent us a message during the Fox News update at the top of the hour. He says, we have not heard anything lately if the reserves of gold were verified in person by President Trump or his team at Fort Knox. He says, that is more important than Zelensky. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are more important than Zelensky, right? Like our southern border, like getting, you know, millions of criminal illegal aliens out of this country and securing this country from the blinking lights everywhere. But no, that's a good point. Yeah, there was all sorts of discussion about, you know, gold and more, and we haven't heard an update on that. I suspect that'll be another one of those things that'll just pop up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, boom, it's back in the news. But right on, John, thanks for the message. Yeah, we haven't heard anything about that for a while. One thing we need to get to, this is kind of turning into alibi hour. What are the alibis? What are the things that we could have covered yesterday on the show that we just, for whatever reason, didn't get to? Let's talk about these phony protests. They're all staged. They're being you know, funded by and organized by the very same left-wing groups, the Soros-type groups. And you're seeing it already. You're seeing protests. You're seeing protests at Glacier National Park. You're seeing protests at Yellowstone National Park. And I'm sure some of the people are legitimately concerned. You know, nobody wants to see people lose their jobs, right? Well, there's some people that need to lose their jobs, frankly. But But at the end of the day, look, where were all these protesters when the Stillwater miners lost their jobs? Where were they when our timber industry folks lost their jobs? Where were they when our own federal government tries to kick our own ranchers off the land and gives perks to the American Prairie Reserve? There were no organized left-wing protests when that took place. But who was it? There was a clip that we grabbed yesterday. Let me see here. Was it the Democrats boycotting the State of Union? No, I don't think it came up in that one. Where was it? Oh, here we go. Howie Kurtz. That's where it was. Howie Kurtz on his Sunday morning show on Fox News talked about Soros's involvement with all these Democrats groups and how they're staging all these fake phony protests all across the country to make it look like people are so opposed to what President Trump and Elon Musk are doing. When you look at actual data, you look at actual polling, Donald Trump has incredible support from the American people right now. And this little stunt by Zelensky at the White House on Friday only has Donald Trump's approval going even higher and Zelensky's disapproval going even lower. So don't fall for these phony Soros protests that even the Montana media is propping up.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I just had to ask Grok. Grok 3, that's the Elon Musk AI platform embedded in X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Good night. I sound like a tech nerd right now saying all this stuff. But anyway, I just asked a question to Grok. What is the University of Montana program funded by the Department of Defense that is focused on defending democracy? Now, the reason why I asked, some of you know why I asked that question, because some of you were sending me this audio on X. It was a video of Sean Parnell. I think Sean Parnell is a Green Beret veteran, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's a military veteran. Sean Parnell is now the spokesman for the Secretary of Defense, for the DOD, for Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Well, he posted a video on X talking about some of what they're calling the wasteful spending being identified inside the DOD by DOGE. And he mentioned the University of Montana by name. So anyway, I've got that audio. I'll probably save that maybe for the 7 o'clock hour of the show or maybe later in the morning, maybe during our statewide program. I did reach out to the University of Montana's spokesman as well to say, hey, I don't know if you guys saw this video. What's your reaction to it? Any more details on this specific program that was mentioned by Sean Parnell in the video. So I'll let you know if we get a response back. I did get a response back from Dave Koontz, the spokesman for the University of Montana last night. He said he will look into it and get me more details today. So he did respond. Now, I do know that the University of Montana, vis-a-vis the Maureen and Mike Mansfield Center, they actually work pretty closely. They've worked pretty closely with the Department of Defense, especially on critical language and cultural programs. And so, you know, some of our special operations community, for example, has taken advantage of these programs for foreign languages and things like that. I don't know if that was the program that was highlighted by Sean Parnell or not, but I do know that the Mansfield Center has done some good work with the DOD on that front. But this program may be separate. It may be something totally, entirely different. And as you know, as leadership changes within some of these institutions, they can, you know, you can have a good leader that keeps it focused on delivering for the American people, and then you can get a new leader that comes in, oh, yeah, let's do this, let's do that. And you're like, wait, what are you doing? So who knows? We'll find out more details on that front. All right. The phony staged protests. And then this is also what's happening elsewhere across the country. What do the Democrats want to do right now? They don't have a message for the American people. Everything that Donald Trump is doing is extremely popular with the American people. we're running. Donald Trump inherited a $2 trillion deficit, an annual deficit of $2 trillion from Joe Biden. We have to trim that back. So there's tough decisions that have to be made. The American people get it. On top of that, we have $36, $37 trillion in debt. Do we really want to pile another $2 trillion on this year and then more next year and the year after? No, of course we don't. We can't. It is unsustainable. So what do the Democrats have left to do? Kick and scream and throw temper tantrums. So that's all they have left to do is kick and scream and throw temper tantrums. And so what that's so they're doing that. But then what else do they want to do? They simply want to go out and attack Republican members of Congress or Republican senators, Republican elected officials. They want to go. They want to be disruptive. They want to get angry. They want to throw their little temper tantrums to create the perception that what the Republicans and what President Trump are doing in Washington right now is not popular with the people. They just want to create that perception. It's not reality, but they want to create that perception. That's why if you guys saw it, Fussy Bussy, the Democrat hack out of the who ran for governor last year and got trounced by 20-plus percentage points by Governor Greg Gianforte. That's why he's like, oh, come on, you guys need to do a public meeting so that he and all his paid-for stooges, that's what they are, they're bought and paid-for stooges. Where do you think, how do you think he afforded his million-dollar-plus house in the Flathead Valley? Supporting gun control efforts in California, getting paid $150 an hour to testify. Getting paid by these left-wing anti-gun groups, getting paid to promote his left-wing anti-gun book. These guys like Fussy Bussy are getting paid by the Democrat operatives, paid by these left-wing groups to do nothing more than be obstructionists, to throw temper tantrums, so they can create the perception that somehow what Trump is doing is not popular. And it's garbage. Anyway, listen to what Howie Kurtz shared over the weekend on his Sunday morning show on Fox.
If you have a pulse in two neurons, you can reply to an email. This is, you know, I think not a high bar, is what I'm saying. Anyone could accomplish this?
The major media narrative just got busted. The liberal press has been breathlessly hyping those viral town halls and protests in Republican districts as evidence of a major Doge backlash. But now the Washington Free Beacon is blowing the lid on how organic those protests really are, exposing how, quote, Red District Doge protests were organized by left-wing groups.
Employees are losing their minds over the notion that it was also simply a test to ensure they read it to account for how many are totally retired and checked out while still collecting our money as their salary.
And Musk's media critics feel just as strongly.
Musk seems to want to be the boss, in fact, of the entire country, if not the entire world, where he can imperiously fire whoever he wants and tell everyone what to do.
Donald Trump is running an administration of billionaires where the most powerful person appears to be not the president, but the much richer Elon Musk.
All right. Yeah. So there we go. Anyway, that was kind of a great little collection of montages. But we even see it here locally, how the liberal Montana media just falls right in tow. Oh, look at these protesters. Now, it could be a lot of protesters and the Democrat community organizers that always show up at every protest, at every event. It's the same people that are at this protest, and then next week they're at that protest. It's not organic. This is AstroTurf. It's phony. But the media falls right in tow because they want to attack Trump. They want to make the Republicans look bad. But what's interesting is you actually go and you would never see pushback like what we're seeing right now. You go and you look at like whether it's NBC Montana or whether it's the Montana Television Network or whoever wants to do the cookie cutter journalism approach. Oh, look, a protest. Oh, look, eight Democrats are out on the street corner. Oh, no. But if eight Republicans were out on the street corner, they would ignore it. They would ignore you. You wouldn't get the attention. But, oh, no, look at eight Democrats on the street corner and all the TV stations. Oh, yeah. But what's interesting, you go look even at the comments on their social media pages, and they are getting hammered. They are getting hammered by people who are saying, you know what, none of these people showed up for me when I lost my job in the timber industry. You know what, none of these people showed up for me when I lost my job in the mining industry. You know what, none of these people showed up for the thousands and thousands of, let's call them federal workers, active duty military troops and soldiers who were kicked to the curb by Barack Hussein Obama and William Jefferson Clinton back in the 1990s. Oh, you didn't protest in the streets for those men and women, did you? It's so interesting to see the pushback that these phony news outlets are getting with their phony fall-in-line coverage to prop up the Soros or orchestrated protests. It's just fascinating to see. The American people have freaking had it. They have had it. They are tired of having their money being handed out to all these other countries and all these other people, and then we get taken for granted. We get abused. And nobody gives a dang when we, the people who pay the taxes, that pay for your job, that pay for everything, you don't care when we lose our jobs. But by golly, people are supposed to jump up and down with their hair on fire because you don't want to respond to an email. My goodness, well, the American taxpayer is so sick and tired of not just being taken for granted, but of being disrespected. Anyway, we got a lot to get to here this morning. Of course, we got the legislative update coming up right after this. I think Derek Astreicher filling in for the Montana Family Foundation legislative update once again. 7 o'clock hour. Man, I haven't even looked at the calendar yet. I think we got the phone lines open for you. I don't think we have any guests scheduled for the 7 o'clock hour. So that means more time for you to jump in on the conversation. And then John Jackson, the Joker from X. Starting in the 8 o'clock hour, I think he'll stick around for the 9 o'clock hour. I want to throw my Zelensky theory at him. Anyway, that's going to be fun.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Phase 1 is the mineral deal. Phase 2 is a ceasefire. Phase 3 is a negotiated settlement. That negotiated settlement, as I said in my interview with Zelensky a number of weeks back, would include the rare earth mineral deal to pay back the United States and also ensure an American presence there that would help them in terms of their country's security. And number two, a ceasefire. That would be very good for them right now because they don't have the manpower and they don't have the weaponry and they don't even have the prospects of drafting any people because they're now forcing 45-year-old men into the battlefield. And I doubt most 45-year-old men can fight like 20 and 25-year-old guys.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
The election is officially over, but is your money still at risk? We still have a staggering $35 trillion in debt. Interest on this debt now costs more than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. On top of that, we're still feeling the consequences of the brutal inflation we saw under Biden and the global chaos ripping across the globe. That's why thousands of concerned Americans are turning to precious metals to help hedge against these threats. And they're reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make it happen. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Right now, they're offering a free gold and silver kit to help you diversify your savings. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll start off the day with some areas of light snow with some light additional accumulations in some parts of the area. Then some sunshine develops, especially during the afternoon. High temperature readings, meanwhile, staying from the mid-30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the lower 20s. Then we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
This is Derek A. Stryker, Chief Legal Counsel for the Montana Family Foundation, filling in for Jeff Laszlofsky. Back in 2023, the Montana legislature passed Senate Bill 458. It was perhaps the simplest bill of the legislative session, but it was also one of the most controversial. The aim of that legislation was to define the terms male, female, and biological sex. The bill was passed into law and signed by Governor Jane Forte. Then it was immediately challenged in court, which is the preferred strategy for progressive organizations to defeat good policy passed by our legislature. In fact, this bill was the subject of two separate lawsuits. It was a bill so nice, they challenged it twice. In the first case, Judge Shane Vanetta of Missoula issued an order on June 25, 2024, finding that Senate Bill 458 was unconstitutional for violating the single title rule. Essentially, Judge Vanetta ruled that the title did not provide enough notice to the public as to whether the bill concerned sex, as in the distinction between men and women, or whether the title concerned sex, as in the act. In the second case, we did not receive a ruling until last month. On February 18th, Judge Leslie Halligan, also of Missoula, ruled that Senate Bill 458 violated Montana's right to privacy and equal protection guarantees under the Constitution. Judge Halligan's order states, quote, "Regulations that interfere with an individual's ability to self-define and make personal choices concerning their identity infringe on the right to privacy," end quote. The judge went so far as to comment on a bill that is working its way through the legislature this session. Judge Halligan justified her ruling because, quote, "The threat of harm in enforcement of SB 458 or bills of similar character remains prevalent," end quote. The bill that Judge Halligan was prejudging is Senate Bill 437 this session. It will have a hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee this Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. The mechanics of the bill are the same as last session: bring clarity to Montana law by defining the terms sex, male, and female. The title of the bill has been changed to ensure that anyone, even a judge in Missoula, can understand what the bill is about. And the revised definitions are supported by biological science and reality. Under the bill, biological sex means whether someone is male or female. Man means an adult human male. Woman means an adult human female. Senate Bill 437 makes clear that biological sex is immutable. You can't change it. There are only two sexes. You may claim to be able to change your gender or express your gender in a different way, but you can never change your sex. That's why this bill is important. Our laws should draw a clear distinction between sex and gender, and Senate Bill 437 does just that. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Derek A. Stryker, reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, before we wrap up, let me tell you about a great deal right now. The cold air is back. You can probably feel it coming through your windows right now. Well, let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of four windows. It's a deal you do not want to miss. Plus, easy financing, zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Seriously, Upgrading your windows has never been easier. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of four windows, and zero down, zero interest, zero payments for 12 months. Call 406-948-2836 right now. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One critical piece of information that rarely seems to surface in the current war of words over disruption to federal government spending of late is just how much that spending ballooned in recent years. Not all the increases were the result of COVID. In 2019, when we were not exactly frugal, spending $4.5 trillion that wasn't $1 trillion in excess of revenues. But then it got ugly. Last year's spending was $6.7 trillion. That's 52% more. Let's take a look at the pieces. The smallest increases were still large. Defense, 27%, Medicare, 34%, and Social Security, 40%. Other health program spending, including Medicaid and the VA, were up 56%. Other discretionary spending was up 71%. But the biggest rise was the interest paid in the ballooning debt. At $882 billion, it now stands 135% higher than 2019. And since 2022, the deficit started growing again, almost double the pre-COVID amount. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.